I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend? Or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
The Mock Machine, Jay Binkley joining us in studio yesterday. Binkley was on the computer. I'm like, hey, man, what are you up to? And I've already knocked out four mock drafts today. So yesterday you sat at the computer and you did four separate mock drafts?
No, I was finishing four. I did not do all four. I was finishing four. Actually, I started on five.
Do you want to talk about your mock right now or do you want to wait a little bit? It's up to you. I want to do whatever you want to do. Okay.
Wait. Patience.
I know you're starting to heat
up. Machine, man. The word. How about that?
That's pretty
machine.
Exciting. Yeah. I'm just glad my guy spelled it right. That was going to be pretty embarrassing if he didn't. Yeah.
Bink, the Chiefs have made a move since the last time that you have joined this show. They pick up Jaron Reed on a one-year, $5 million contract. Like the move, love the move, indifferent on the move. Where do you stand?
I would more than like it. Like I say, love it, but more than like it. Somewhere between more than like and love.
You're infatuated with it.
Infatuated with it. I like this move. It makes this defensive line pretty salty. Jaron Reed, interesting story. He formerly played at East Mississippi Community College. Remember that Last Chance U, the original place? And then he transferred to Bama and was known as a run stuffer when he came out in the draft when he's picked in the second round. And he was ferocious against the run. I mean, he was deadly in the SEC against the run. Things changed a little bit. He didn't really carry that moxie with him to the NFL to some extent. Still very good against the run. But his pass rush really developed. I mean, that interior pass rush move. I like Jaron Reed a lot. He's going to break the bank next year. I mean, this is a one-year prove-it type deal. I'll show you what I can do. Seahawks piss me off. I'll go to Kansas City. I'll take less money, and I'll prove it. I'll get on primetime, play some games. But he's going to get the bag next season.
Do you think this is better for Chris Jones or Frank Clark, the addition of Reed?
I think it's good for both of them. I think anytime you can take attention away from Chris Jones and Frank Clark as a tandem, it's good. I know that Frank Clark worked really well with Jaron Reed in Seattle. I mean, that one year, 2 years ago, what, 13 sacks for Frank Clark, 10.5 sacks for Reed in the interior. I think it really helps both of them because of getting attention. So I don't really want to say one or the other is really more advantageous. I think it's kind of both of them.
I was looking at this, and we talked about this on the show yesterday. If you've been in on the Frank Clark, I think this is a reason to kind of buy back in and hold out hope. Frank Clark played his best football alongside Jaron Reed.
Absolutely.
Jaron Reed played his best football alongside Frank Clark. If you look at the way Frank Clark's contract is structured, this is virtually a contract year for the player. I'm not saying he's going to turn into the guy people expected him to be once they made the trade, but if there is a double-digit sack season still left in Frank Clark, in theory, you should see it this upcoming season.
What did our friend Trez Paylor used to tell us?
Contract years undefeated.
Undefeated, yes. That's exactly what he would be telling us today if Therese was on. But, yeah, you've got some guys on some prove-it type deals, and I'm looking forward to it. I mean, this is probably a one-stop deal. I doubt you're going to get him next season unless the Chiefs, you know, what the salary cap is going to be going up. Is there a situation where they could keep him in Kansas City longer than 1 year? Absolutely, especially if he likes playing here with the Chiefs. But I think it's interesting. Seattle just made him mad. You know, they bring back Puna, they bring back different players, and they weren't upping him, even though they offered him about $1.5 million more if he hits all his incentives with the Chiefs. I know it looks like $3.5 million, but he actually turned down about $1.5 million to stay in Seattle to go in Kansas City. I will say this, Kansas City costs a living less than Seattle, so could end up being a wash machine.
Yeah, they've got some water out there, though, and a big Ferris wheel.
They've got some Seattle water. Yeah, but it's legal expensive, weed. Man.
And it's a little weird. Yeah, it's kind of, I don't know if it's the best time to live out in Seattle. But
Space
yeah.
Needle thing's cool.
The Space Needle's all right. It's pretty dope. My favorite thing that's
and throwing fish.
I used to like when Therese used to say, guys, you know, I watch a lot of football. We're like, yes, man, we know. You watch probably more football than anybody, including our in-studio guest, our good friend, Jay Binkley. So now that the Chiefs have made a move and the draft is, what, 3 weeks and change away, are they going to make any more moves before the draft?
You know, I don't know. I mean, Alejandro Villanueva sits out there. Okung, I know the Chiefs have talked to Okung. It's an interesting guy. He has only played 13 games the last 2 years. You know, last year was, what, calf strain, groin. I mean, there's little things like that. He didn't play. I do know this. Half his salary is in Bitcoin, which if the Chiefs are going to do business with him, it's probably in Bitcoin. We'll see if they do it. I'm more of a Villanueva guy than Okung because of consistency and durability. But I don't know if I haven't heard anything on him. I don't know if Pittsburgh, you know, working on something to keep him there, if he's wanting to protect the blind side of Big Ben once again. That's the direction I would go. I think the 31, pick 31 will be a left tackle, in my opinion. But I would hold out hope. I think the Chiefs, I would not say the Chiefs are done. I'm holding out hope for Melvin Ingram. Can you imagine adding him to this defense on the edge with Jaron Reed, Frank Clark, Chris Jones? All of a sudden, you have a formidable front four. You talk about Tampa Bay, and the reason they won the Super Bowl was because of that front four. The Chiefs have a very formidable front four if they can find a way to get Ingram, because he hasn't signed with anybody at this point.
Yeah, but aren't guys like that just waiting to get a bigger payday than they've been offered so far? It doesn't think the Chiefs are going to come like, okay, that's true. I guess it could be
the medicals are something that concerns me, because no teams are jumping out there. Ingram's a, you know, would be a hot commodity, but there's no teams out there. Then he leaves Kansas City, but it's not like another team jumped in like Emmanuel Sanders, you know, and offers them a deal. So I don't know if it's the medical with Melvin Ingram or what, but I do know that you can leave a place and get a contract. Look at Sammy Watkins. He left Baltimore, no contract, but ends up signing with them. So I'm still holding out hope for that. I would love to see it.
I think it came down to wanting a one-year deal versus a two-year deal. Like, maybe I'm wrong in my...
In 1 year, $8 to $10 million would get him.
Yeah, but I guess I think. I'm looking at it where... I mean, that's kind of what the Jaron Reed signing is. It's a little bit more. It's
he's
like
going to have to do that. Like, Ingram's going to have to know who he is.
If he's doing that, I don't think he's signing pre-draft. And I think he's waiting, kind of like what happened last year with Clowney.
He could.
I think right now,
he
Ingram's,
could be pulling a Clowney.
I think Ingram's waiting for the two-year deal. Kansas City said, we're only offering the one. Maybe it was a little bit more money because he's a more consistent, proven pass rusher than what Jaron Reed is. Jaron Reed was willing to take the one-year deal. Ingram's going to hold out, and maybe he gets a little bit more on the back end because he waits like what happened with Clowney, or he signs a two-year deal after the draft.
Clowney also had zero impact on the Like, literally. He had zero sacks. He had zero impact with the Tennessee Titans. It was something we talked about because he looks good in the uniform. He was the number one overall pick. We've
never
heard his name for a long time.
Took a phone call.
He sucks. So I'm not really interested in a guy like that in name. I'm interested more in a signing like they had yesterday where, yeah, I need to dive a little deeper into the player like that. But you look like, hold on, this dude, essentially a nose tackle, has 19 sacks the last 3 years?
Well, how about Cloudy when he played with Jaron Reed up in Seattle?
Jaron Reed, I believe, has more sacks in his career than Jadeveon Clowney. Like, we need to start talking about guys like that.
You'll see a flood of guys start to sign. They'll start getting a little bit nervous a couple weeks before training camp.
Go back to the left tackle thing you were talking about real quick. So if you had to bet all your energy drinks on who the left tackle is going to be week one for the Kansas City Chiefs, who would you say it's going to be?
I would say right now at this point, Liam Eichenberg of Notre Dame or Steve Cosme of Texas. Those two guys just kind of really fit in. I would say Tevin Jenkins, and I know they have spoken to Tevin Jenkins, but if they're going to get Tevin Jenkins, they're going to have to move up to like 23, 24. They're not getting him at 31.
Those college cats that you just named. So you're talking about sitting at 31, very end of the first round, getting a left tackle and starting him right away. Are those guys ready to do that, or would they be forced to do that?
Liam would be, because he was a fifth-year guy at Notre Dame. And as I said, the pedigree of Notre Dame tackles. Brian Kelly's had a first-rounder at left tackle every year he's been there. You got guys like Quentin Nelson that have come out of that program. He would be a day-one starter. Put it this way. He has not given up a sack since September 29th of 2018. 1,188 quarterback dropbacks. Hadn't given up a sack. He's the only player. Ian Book had 400 pass dropbacks last year at Notre Dame, zero sacks.
Why don't you do any research for this stuff, Bink? Why do you just go off the top of your head all the time?
That stuff, I mean, say impressive. What you want. I mean, talk about hand size or whatever, but there's something holding back because a lot of people see him in the first round or even in the second, although Mel Kiper did pick him mocked him to the Chiefs this week. But he's not getting the run as the other tackles. Maybe the athleticism, the flashiness, there's not a whole bunch of room to grow for Liam, but he's one of the consistent guys I could see starting on day one in the NFL. But when you don't allow a sack, that's impressive.
Right now, we're talking to Jay Binkley. Coming up in about 5 minutes, we'll give you the opportunity to ask Bink whatever you want in random question time, 913-576-7610. If the Chiefs are going to sign one more veteran free agent that isn't on their roster, what position do you think it'd be at? Because they've signed a veteran offensive lineman.
Left tackle.
Left tackle?
Yeah, 100%. It'd be like Okung, something like that, or Villanueva. It'd be a left tackle.
What if I threw linebacker out there?
Again, I think they're counting on Willie Gay to be in the mix with Aaron Hitchens here, and I think they hit linebacker in the draft.
Willie Gay's the forgotten man. It's like, it never comes up.
I think they hit linebacker in the draft. Plenty of opportunities. Pretty deep.
You think a high draft pick or a low draft pick on linebacker?
Like fourth round.
Okay, yeah, so a mid-round draft pick.
Draft picks are good for linebackers.
If you can only bring back one free agent, Breeland or Damian Wilson, who would you pick?
Bashaud. I just value cornerbacks in the NFL. He was a consistent guy. I love his toughness. I always thought he kind of played like Sammy Watkins on defense. Not the durability part of it, but the hitting part of it. But he has an attitude about him. And this league's about quarterbacks, about throwing the football. So, yeah, I would probably prioritize him first because I think this defensive line – he's built up pretty salty to be good run stuffers.
I'm not going to ask you if you like adding the 17th game because I already know your answer. How do you think this is going to affect football when it comes to injuries and just the natural attrition that the game is going to have? Trading a game in which the starters didn't play, the fourth preseason game, and converting that into a game in which we expect most of the starters to play, it has to have some lasting effect on the product that we see.
No, I think it will. And the interesting thing is that they're not talking about is their pay. Like if you're making $1.7 million, it's $100,000. You get $100,000 for that extra game. But if you're making like $4.58 million, which many of the guys are, something like that, you're capped at $250,000. That's the way it was supposed to be. So I'm curious what they're going to do on it. And it's whatever your contract was signed before. Now, these new contracts will include the 17th game. You'll start seeing those type of escalators. So I'm curious how that works. I do think it has a little bit of effect on the body. I'm for it. I know Alvin Kamara clearly isn't for it, you know, playing that extra game.
I saw Justin Simmons said something yesterday,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, they're concerned about it, but the bottom line is they let the NFL do it. I mean, they gave him permission to do it. It's just like if our company had a rule and they said, if anybody leaves cash on the table, you can take it. If I saw $200 laying here on the studio, I'd take it. You know what? The rules say I can take it. So the NFL, the player said, you can have a 17th game. The NFL said, oh, really? And the NFL used that to get more money in the TV contract. So in a way, it comes back and helps the players because that was a caveat in these deals. Keep in mind, it went up 80%. A lot of these teams, these CBS and Fox, they double. It's 11 years, $113 billion. That money's going back in their pockets. So, yes, they did sacrifice having the 17th game, but the NFL needed that to get the extra money from the television contract. So, in a way, it'll go back to their pocketbooks and they'll be happy.
I was talking to Sean Barber about this. And I don't think he'll mind me sharing this. And his stance on it was, you know, I was one of those guys that, you know, wasn't making the Mahomes tire, you know, wasn't making that big time money. He's like, man, we're talking about adding to my salary. Cool. Tell me where I can sign up. And I think what's happening right now in the NFL is it's a pretty massive divide between the haves, so quarterbacks, high end players, and the other guys in the league, and I think I saw some stat, like 70% of the league makes under $2 million
a year. It's a $100,000 game check, $250,000 for 3 hours, man.
And
it's a game.
And this is going to sound odd. I think the NFL always plays on that poverty, and they always know, like most people, all I got to do is show you that I'll give you a little bit more money and ask you to work a little bit more. And in the end, the owners are going to come out like bandits about this, and we all know that the gambling money's about to hit for the NFL, so they're about to make a boatload of money here over the next 10 years.
Yeah, but like Mahomes in the next couple of years, he's going to be getting, what, like $3 million game checks? So to your point, if they've capped it at $250,000, if I'm Patrick Mahomes, I'm normally getting $3 million, you're going to give me $250,000?
Yeah, he'll find a way to escalate.
Yeah, no, I think I'm good on that. You better up that ante a little bit, or I ain't playing. Or you got to talk to my agent, or you got to talk to somebody, because
that's the next round of
you're not paying me $250,000. I know that most people would take that for a day's work. Not if your normal pay is $3
million. Now that they've made it official, even though we've known about this for about a month and a half, you wait. The next wave will be the players complaining about, well, how are we going to get paid on this?
Hey, before we go to the Jay's Southland Tow Service text line, get those texts coming in right now. We can ask Bink anything, 913-576-7610. Do you think the top four picks in the draft are going to be quarterbacks? And There's no way those guys all pan out. So outside of Trevor Lawrence, is there one guy that you really like and one guy you don't necessarily believe in?
Zach Wilson, I would say. Now, if I'm the Niners sitting at three, I like Justin Fields better than Mac Jones, way better, or Trey Lance in that situation. Do you know that the top three quarterbacks, the NFL has not seen a single position drafted 1, 2, and 3 in the draft since 99? Tim Couch, McNabb, Akili Smith. There's never been four quarterbacks taken. That was the only time three quarterbacks were taken. We're gonna have that or even beat that this year. It's going to leave like Penei Sewell or Kyle Pitts just sitting out here for the Bengals and Dolphins. Like, pick your poison. They're going to get a qual. Like, if everybody's going quarterback at the top of the draft, those sitting 4, 5, and 6 are going to get some primo players. Hold on,
how low could Sewell fall?
I'd be stunned if he went lower than 6.
Yeah, I wouldn't either. But what I'm saying is, if you're sitting at 4, 5, and 6, you're going to have basically what would have been a number 2, a number 3 overall selection in the NFL draft a couple years ago.
Any non-quarterback that you want.
They're going to get that value at 5th or 6th. It's crazy.
If you traded 2 additional first-round picks to go get Mac Jones, everybody should be fired.
And what's funny is Chris Sims has been banging this drum, and even CBS put out a mock draft having Mac Jones. I watched video today of Mac Jones airballing one about 15 yards further than Devontae Smith, and Kyle Shanahan going, sitting there, because he chose to go to Bama's pro day instead of Ohio State, which is interesting, right? I mean, they're looking what quarterback, and they're connecting the dots. Say, well, Kyle Shanahan's down at Bama today because Ohio State had the pro day on the same day, but Justin Fields has agreed to throw on a different day. They're going to go Justin Fields.
Coming up in a little bit, we'll give you a chance to ask Bink whatever you want. 913-576-7610. We'll do that coming up in 90 seconds. Bink, it is now the time that we give you 90 seconds to talk as much as you want about your mock draft.
We need to talk about this 90-second thing, all right? First of all, that's way too thin. But I will say this. Machine asked me earlier, tackle machine, Liam Eichenberg, I went at 31. Might switch that up next week. I'm thinking about it. And I'm also thinking about Britain's guy, Tommy Trimble, the tight end. He did not make it in my Mach 4.0, but could be 5.0 because of the H-back role. But I still have Brevin Jordan as my tight end. And by the way, if you go to the tracker, free agency tracker, Rob, the Chiefs have made had multiple conversations with Brevin Jordan. He said they're very interested in him. So Chiefs are leading that direction towards Miami. I still go tight end in the second round if I'm the Chiefs. I switched my center up in the third round. I did have Josh Myers of Ohio State. I switched to Trey Hill at Georgia, 6'4", 330 pounds. You're not going to get a Landon Dickerson or Creed Humphrey. If you wanted him, you need to pick him at 31. But there's a great second wave of centers in Trey Hill at Georgia, Josh Myers at Ohio State. Chiefs will have their pick of the litter. The reason I switched it to Hill over Myers, Brett Veach just favors the SEC.
That pro day.
Over the Big Ten.
Put it over the top.
Yeah. Trey Hill was a machine. He's 6'4", 330. You can switch him to guard down the line if that's what you wanted to do. And I went Monty Rice, the linebacker out of Georgia. Again, SEC theme because that's what Brett Veach does. He was an SEC scout in Philadelphia. He loves those guys in that conference. And in the sixth round, I took a fun guy. I always have fun with my sixth and seventh round picks. Jonathan Adams.
It's over. It's over.
Jonathan Adams. Remember him against K-State? Yo, one-handed grabs?
Bink, it's over.
1,100 yards, 79 catches.
Bink, I'll make a deal with you.
2020? 90 seconds is crap. You know it.
You want more than 90 seconds? After 6 o'clock, I promise you can take all the seconds that you want. After 6.
It's like the 17th game, man. Where's my money? Where's my time?
From 6 to 9, you can take as many seconds talking about the draft as you like. On the drive, you get 90. You get 90. You also get, what time is it, Bank?
Where's the CBA machine?
What time is it, Bank?
It is random question time.
Random question time! Bank, what is your cure for a hangover?
First of all, I don't get them because I'm smart about it. Only two Tylenol before you go to bed. But if I had to do it back in the day, be Gatorade, Powerade, that kind of thing. Greasy cheeseburger as well. That mixed out with a nice Powerade or Gatorade, primo.
Somebody told me weed works. I don't know. Somebody told me that.
Make sure it's greasy, though. It's got to be greasy.
I know that a lot of people are big BC powder people. They think that's a cure.
BC?
Yeah, it's like a type of aspirin.
Oh, I take vitamins. I think C and D. Not B and C. I have C and D, I think.
Drink a lot of water and go for a
and
jog.
And I did. I do it, but mom told me to get some vitamins.
Take a shower. Take a nap.
So when your mom tells you to do something, you do it. You know what I'm saying?
What was your favorite Flintstone vitamin?
Fred.
The purple one was the best one. Dino was delicious.
What color is Fred? Was
10 million strong and growing. Sure. Those were great. I could eat those by the handful. I don't think you're supposed to.
Binkley, Good Sense or Firehouse Subs? I'm shouting out my guys at Firehouse Subs.
You know what? I got to go Firehouse. I'm a big Good Sense. I put Good Sense probably the number two sandwich. Firehouse is, as they say, see that fire.
The cookies, though, at Good Sense. Delicious. Doughy, kind of like back in the day. Rob, you went to Blue Valley Northwest High School. Remember those cookies that were like super doughy? Oh, delicious. They were 50 cents back in the day. They're a little pricier, Good Sense, but those were
Blue Valley Northwest cookies?
Oh, they were the best. I think the Blue Valley School District had different cookies than all the rest. But
they call them the Husky Dogs?
I don't know what they called them. They were good. They were delicious.
Do you want to know who has great subs? The other place. Three great locations around Kansas City.
They do, actually.
Amazing subs. That's why I'm here.
I've had the other place subs. Big Iowa Hawkeye cheese bar down there.
You want me to bring you a sub next time?
Absolutely.
I can't believe.
Yeah, I'm still waiting for my burritos.
To you ever again about that burrito. What guest do you want? I never ever want to talk to you about burritos.
First of all, Kurt Warner's a Hall of Famer. That's a burrito. What would be a sandwich?
Don't talk to me ever again about burritos.
What level of guest? Maybe one-time Pro Bowler, two-time Pro Bowler? Definitely not Hall of Fame.
See, you sound like a NASCAR
all
driver
pro.
When you're talking
Give
about.
Give me an all-pro.
What would Pete Sweeney fetch?
The other
Nothing.
Place.
But, you got to give me something to have Pete Sweeney on the show. What are you talking about?
Cheese.
What are you talking about? Someone wants to know what's the best Kansas City local high school team you've ever watched.
Just the most dominant throughout history. And
Pembroke Hill, Drawn
No,
Rush.
Rockhurst. Tony Severino and the machine he's had out there at Rockhurst. There's nothing like that program through the years. Actually, the best team I ever watched, though, I'll be honest with you, 2004 Kearney Bulldogs. They point spread at everybody. That means they had a 35-point lead in every game, which is a running clock.
Turbo clocked them.
They even did it at Webb City. Guess what? Tommy Saunders, remember him down in Mizzou? He was on that team.
Jerron and Kareem's team had to be the right answer to that back in the day.
But Tony Temple at The Rock, man, come on, man.
They spread Webb City?
Yeah, they That's spread Webb City.
Oh, my God.
On the road in the first half. Even their state title game, they had clocked people.
That's tough
That's
to do.
That's the 04 Kearney Bulldogs. They only had a team of like 30 guys.
Are they called the Webb City Spiders?
They're the Cardinals.
Why would you not be the Spiders if you're from Webb City?
Man, they're big time down there in southern Missouri. SC..
Sounds like you guys are making a huge deal out of them.
Bink, we are done with random questions.
That was fun.
It is now time for the next part of our show, what is called what?
Levine's List today. Great things.
Why are you so excited? It's not even that good of a segment, really, but I'll go ahead and do it anyway. Today's National Doctors Day, so to all the doctors out there saving the world,
we
appreciate you.
It's also Pencil Day.
That's not as important as Doctors Day, Mink. I mean, number two pencil is important, but it's not as important as a doctor. At number 10, Dr. Robotnik from?
Sonic.
Number 9, I'm going to keep doing this. You're not going to be doing as good. Dr. Richard Kimball.
House?
He didn't kill his wife.
Oh, that's from that's The Fugitive.
There you go.
That's The Fugitive. By the way, Harrison Ford.
By the way, House's name, I believe, is House. Like, I think his name's Dr. House.
I've never seen him before.
I haven't either. I could be lying to you. Number 7, Dr. Miranda Bailey.
I don't know who that is.
I know the name Miranda Bailey. I don't know where she's from, though.
Grey's Anatomy. At some point, I know all y'all have been, like, laying next to a girl, and she puts on Grey's Anatomy, and you just happen to have it in the background. I know you've heard the name Miranda Bailey.
I've never ever seen a second
You've
of
never
that show.
Seen Grey's Anatomy?
Never seen a
you
second
You put her anything. Ahead of Dr. Meredith Grey?
Yeah. Mm. Better doctor, in my opinion. More clutch. I like clutch in my doctors, Rob.
Do you remember that one time you gave a show idea, and it was Grey's Anatomy?
Yeah.
Like Great Things.
Actually, yeah, you're right. It is kind of Great Things. You're onto something here. Number 7, Dr. Fauci. He saved the world. Number 6.
I love that people call it the Fauci Ouchie, by the way. It's my favorite thing on the internet.
Rob, you're the only one that's going to get this in this room, I think. Dr. Van Nostrand. Anybody?
Yeah, he's the dermatologist from Seinfeld.
He is.
I think it was a she,
right? What's wrong with you?
Number 5, Dr. Pepper. I mean, I grew up on Dr. Thunder, as Binkley flashes me his Dr. Pepper. Are you drinking that or are you spitting in that?
I'm drinking this
one. Okay. Are you about to spit in it after it's gone?
Absolutely.
My guy. Number 4, Dr. Dre. I don't know if I ever told you guys this. I was at the Up and Smoke tour. Have I told you the story, C-Dot?
You definitely have told
us
this story.
I've heard you say it a few times.
I've mentioned that?
Yeah.
All right, well, then I won't tell you guys again. Number 3, Dr. Seuss. Do you guys know what his real name is?
No.
Neither do I. Number 2, Doogie Howser, M.D. at number one.
You put Doogie Howser over Dr. Dre.
Yeah, this is Levine's list. I'm sorry.
My bad. I apologize.
No, you're good.
I just think of that many times we heard about the Up and Smoke tour. I've never heard you mention Doogie Howser before. I thought you mentioned that
I was at the Up and Smoke tour?
Yes.
With Dr. Dre and Eminem and Snoop Dogg and Exhibit and Warren G.
I don't know anything, I know that.
And number one.
I don't even know. It's like tomorrow, if Will Smith came in here and Men in Black flashy thing me, you've said it so much, I still would remember that happened. It couldn't erase it from my mind.
I won't mention it again. I didn't know I've ever brought it up. And then number one, a Dr. Frazier Crane comes in at number one.
Couple glaring omissions.
Yes.
Dr. J.
Dr. J. Oh, Dr. J, the basketball player. I thought you were like talking about yourself.
No,
okay,
no,
yeah.
No. And LDT, the Canadian doctor.
He is also a doctor. That's true.
Bink.
He's the only pro football player that's a doctor. Come on, man. No, give the guy some cred.
I'm with you.
Dr. Quinn, medicine
the
woman.
Dr. J? Come on, man. It's the most famous doctor.
It's not bad.
Dr. J makes your house calls.
Thank you to all the doctors out there. And I'm being dead serious when I say that. Thank you. That's today's Levine's List, brought to you by 7th Street Casino. 7th Street Casino, where it's at.
Bink, I appreciate you coming on our show today and making it brighter.
Thanks, guys. I enjoyed it.
Coming up at the top of the hour, we'll talk some Major League Baseball as Harold Reynolds is set to join us in the 3 o'clock hour. That's next. Keep it locked in right here. It's The Drive.